Again, John chapter 14, verses 15 all the way through 31. And if I could summarize today's message in just a few short words, it would be this. Love God, obey His commandments, depend on the Spirit. Love God, obey His commandments, depend on the Spirit. One could even say that this is the summary for the entire Christian life. Love God, obey His commandments, depend on the Spirit. By way of reminder, in the last few chapters of John, Jesus is hours before the cross. And He's spending these last few moments with His disciples, giving them comfort, teaching them, preparing them for what is coming, and how they are to live whenever He ascends to the Father. In John chapter 13, Jesus tells them to serve one another and to love one another. In John chapter 14, Jesus encourages them with heaven and also the coming of the Holy Spirit. We're going to look at that in just a few moments. In John chapter 15, Jesus tells them to remain in Him, to abide in Him. In John chapter 16, Jesus promises them peace. In John chapter 17, Jesus prays for them, also known as the high priestly prayer. And we see in today's text this truth. We see the call to love God, to obey His commandments, and the promise of the coming Holy Spirit. The call to love God, to obey His commandments, and the promise of the coming Holy Spirit. Look again, or look with me at verse 15 in John chapter 14. In verse 15, Jesus says these words to His disciples. He says, "If you love me, you will keep my commandments." So again, remember that Jesus is teaching His disciples how they are to live whenever He ascends to the Father after His death and resurrection. And it is at the Last Supper where Jesus introduces this idea of the evidence of a love for Him. In John chapter 13, verse 35, Jesus introduced this idea of the evidence of a love for Him. He says, "By this all people will know that you are my disciples." He says, "If you have love for one another." And here in today's text, Jesus, He continues with this idea of the evidence of love with His disciples. Again, he says, the world would know that they were followers of Jesus. How? By their love for one another. And at the same time, He says, the world would know that they loved Jesus. How? By obeying His commands. By doing what He says to do. If I were to tell you that I love soccer, then there's a good chance that I'm going to go and watch soccer games from time to time, right? If I were to tell you that I love bird watching, then there's a good chance that I'm going to have a nice set of binoculars and from time to time, I'm going to go out and watch birds. If I were to tell you that I love sushi, then from time to time, I'm going to eat sushi, right? You see, church family, when we love something or someone, our behavior follows. You can write that down. You should write that down today. That's what Jesus is saying here in this text. When we love something or someone, our behavior will follow. And this is true for believers today. When we love Jesus, our behavior will follow. As Jesus is telling the disciples, and this applies to you and I, to love Jesus, He's saying, is to love each other. To love Jesus is to obey His commandments. And it begs this question, what are His commandments? Well, for us today, we would say it is the full counsel of the Word of God. It is the entire teaching of Scripture. As one pastor wrote down, he said, loving Jesus is not like bargain hunting at a garage sale. You can't comb through all that He says and pick up whatever commands you like, disregarding any you find unappealing. He says, love for Jesus means obeying even the most difficult of commands. Again, to love Jesus, as Jesus is saying, is to obey and follow the entire counsel of the Word of God. To love Jesus is to love His bride, the church. To love Jesus is to serve His bride, the church. You see, one cannot say that they love Jesus and not love His bride, the church. John will go on to write in the book of 1 John chapter 5, verse 3. He goes on to write, "For this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments." And notice what he says. He says, "And His commandments are not burdensome." His commandments are not burdensome. You see, for the believer, it is never a burden or a chore to obey the commands of Scripture. It is a joy to obey the Word of God, right? It is a blessing to obey the Word of God. Never a burden. And then next, notice in verse 16 how obeying Jesus is not separate from the help of the Holy Spirit. Look at verse 16. He says, "And I will ask the Father, and He will give you another helper to be with you forever." Notice this word "and" that he uses there in verse 16. This word "and" that is used here, it is tied to verse 15. You see, church family, we can only love God, we can only love others, and we can only obey God's commands as we should. How? By the Spirit of God that is dwelling inside of us. Notice that Jesus calls His coming Spirit, He calls Him another helper. Now, in the New Testament, there are a few different words for another. One is this, it's the Greek word heteros. It means one of a different kind. And the other Greek word for another is the Greek word allos, and it simply means another of the same kind. And the word that Jesus uses here to describe the coming Holy Spirit is allos, another of the same kind. So, in other words, after His departure, Jesus sent His Spirit, who is just like Jesus Himself, allos, another of the same kind, to take His place, to do His work through the disciples. Notice that Jesus calls the Holy Spirit the helper, another helper. Other words often used for helper are the words intercessor or consoler or advocate or comforter. One definition of helper reads like this: the Holy Spirit came to take the place of Christ with the apostles after His ascension to the Father, to lead them to a deeper knowledge of the gospel truth and give them divine strength needed to enable them to undergo trials and persecutions on behalf of the divine kingdom. Also notice this, that Jesus says that the Holy Spirit would be with the disciples forever. He would be with the disciples forever. In Ephesians chapter 1, Paul says that when one believes on Christ for salvation, that the Spirit of God comes to dwell inside of that person. And here Jesus says, when the Spirit comes inside of someone, that the Spirit of God remains forever. And this conveys the idea of a permanent residence. And this speaks to the security of the believer. In other words, we can say it like this: when the Spirit of God comes to dwell inside of you, the Spirit of God will never ever leave you. You cannot lose the Spirit of God when He makes His home in you. The Spirit of God remains forever. Jesus also calls the Holy Spirit the Spirit of truth. Look at the beginning of verse 17. He says, "Even the Spirit of truth." You see, the Holy Spirit is the source of truth. The Holy Spirit communicates truth. The Holy Spirit helps God's people to know the truth of God. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 12, the Apostle Paul wrote, "Now we have received not the Spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might understand the things freely given us by God." So the Holy Spirit helps God's people to know the truth of God. Look at the rest of verse 17, or the middle of verse 17. Jesus goes on and says, talking about the Spirit, "whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees Him nor knows Him." Notice this word "world." This word world that's used there in verse 17. And this word world here that is used is referring to non-believers. And it begs this question, why can't the world or why can't non-believers receive the Spirit or know the Spirit of God? And it's very simple, because the Spirit of God is not imparted to non-believers. That's what Jesus is saying here. The Holy Spirit of God only comes to indwell believers at the moment or at the point of salvation. Look at the rest of verse 17. He says, you know Him, for He dwells with you and will be in you. So in the Old Testament, the Spirit of God was often imparted to people to accomplish certain assignments. But after Christ's death and burial, resurrection and ascension, the Holy Spirit comes to dwell in all believers permanently. And this is one of the main differences, church family, between the Old Covenant and the New Covenant. The indwelling of the Holy Spirit permanently. Again, Ephesians 1, chapter 1, verses 13 and 14, the Apostle Paul wrote, in Him you also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. In other words, they heard the gospel, and he says, you believed in Him. After this belief, he says, you were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until we acquire possession of it to the praise of His glory. So, church family, the same Holy Spirit that Jesus promised the disciples is the same Holy Spirit that indwells all believers today. Isn't that an amazing thing to think about? That whenever you trusted in Jesus Christ for salvation, at the moment of belief, He sent His Spirit to dwell inside of you. The Holy Spirit today, if you are a believer, the Holy Spirit of God is dwelling inside of you, and as Jesus says, there to guide you in all truth. The Holy Spirit is with you, as Jesus says, at all times. He will never leave. He will never forsake you. The Holy Spirit is with you, helping you and empowering you to love God and to obey His commands as you should. Isn't that an amazing thing to think about? That the power, the Spirit of God Almighty indwells inside of you today and forevermore. It's an amazing thing to think about. The Baptist Faith and Message, the statement of faith that we adhere to here at First Baptist, reads like this regarding the Holy Spirit, and I just want to read it for us. It reads, the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of God, fully divine. He inspired holy men to write the Scriptures. Through illumination, He enables men to understand truth, which is just what Jesus says. He exalts Christ. He convicts men of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. He calls men to the Savior and effects regeneration. At the moment of regeneration, He baptizes every believer into the body of Christ. He cultivates Christian character, comforts believers, and bestows the spiritual gifts by which they serve God through His church. He seals the believer unto the final day of redemption. Again, that's Ephesians 1. His presence in the Christian is the guarantee that God will bring the believer into the fullness of the stature of Christ. He enlightens and empowers the believer and the church in worship, evangelism, and service. And that Spirit is dwelling inside of you today. An amazing, amazing gift from God. Next, we see in this amazing text the continued call to love, the promises of Christ, and the presence of the Holy Spirit. The continued call to love, the promises of Christ, and the presence of the Holy Spirit. Look at verse 18. This is one of those verses that, and you should underline, that you should memorize. He says in verse 18, he says, I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. And in this verse, Jesus is making an immediate promise and also a long-term promise. The long-term promise is this, that when Jesus says that He would not leave them as orphans, this meant that His Spirit would constantly be with them. As Jesus was going to go to the cross, be resurrected from the grave, and ascend to the Father, that Jesus would not leave them as orphans. He would constantly be with them. That's the long-term promise. And the word orphan that Jesus uses here, it means what you think it means. It means fatherless. It means motherless. But another word for this word orphan, it can also mean comfortless. In other words, Jesus, by His abiding Spirit moving forward, would be there with these disciples to guide them, to lead them, but also, think about this, to comfort them. To comfort them. Jesus also says that he would come to them. This is the short-term promise that Jesus was making to them. And this is more than likely his promise to return to them after his resurrection. You see, church family, after Christ was resurrected from the grave, he went on and he met with his disciples many, many different times, several times. And he fulfilled this promise that he made to them. He says, I want to come to you. And he fulfilled that promise. And church family, can I remind you today that you are not alone. You are not alone. If you are in Christ, His Spirit dwells within you. And maybe you didn't have parents growing up. Or maybe today your parents are absent from your life. Or maybe your parents have since passed away. But can I remind you today that if you are in Christ, that you are not an orphan. Christ is with you today. He will be with you tomorrow. And as he fulfilled this promise to return to his disciples after his resurrection, he will fulfill his promise to return for his church. You see, church family, Christ always fulfills his promises. He told his disciples, I'm going to come and I'm going to see you again. And he did that. And church family, he's going to come again for his church. He's going to return one day for his church. Christ always fulfills his promises. Look at verse 19. He says, yet a little while and the world will see me no more, but you will see me. And again, this is more than likely a promise from Jesus to return to his disciples after his resurrection. And again, this was a promise that was fulfilled by Christ. Again, Christ always fulfills his promises. And then notice what he says in the rest of verse 19. It's a powerful, powerful statement. And it's a statement that applies to you and I today. He says this to them. He says, because I live, you also will live. Because I live, you also will live. You see, church family, because of Christ's resurrection from the dead, believers also experience resurrection life through Jesus Christ as well. Last week, we looked at this amazing passage of Scripture from John chapter 14, verse 6, where Jesus says, I am the way, I am the truth and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me. And when Jesus says that he is the life, this means that everlasting and spiritual life can only be found through Jesus Christ, because Christ lives, we live as well whenever we trust in him. Underline that verse, circle that verse, because he lives, we can also live by faith and trust in him. Look at verses 20 through 21. He says, in that day, you will know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. Verse 21, he says, whoever has my commandments and keeps them, he it is who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him. And this speaks to the loving relationship that Jesus and his disciples shared. You see, he loved them deeply. And again, Jesus says that his true disciples will show their love for Jesus by their obedience to his commands. You see, church family, we do not follow Jesus. We do not obey Jesus and love Jesus based on fear. Although, yes, it's good to fear the Lord, as the Bible calls us to do so. But ultimately, we don't love Jesus or follow Jesus or obey him based on fear. We follow Jesus and obey Jesus and love Jesus. Why? Because he loves us, right? It's not based on fear. It is based on love. You see, we share a mutual loving relationship with Jesus Christ. We follow him because we love him, and also because he loves us. We share a mutual loving relationship with Jesus Christ. You see, I don't want my children to obey me because they fear me. I want my children to obey me and to listen to me. Why? Because they love me. Because they know that I love them. And this is the same type of relationship that Jesus wants with His children, that Jesus wants with you and I. We serve and obey Him. Why? Because we love Him. We serve and obey Him. Why? Because He loves us. Look at verses 22 down through 24. Judas, not Iscariot, said to Him, "Lord, how is it that You will manifest Yourself to us and not to the world?" Jesus answered him. Again, notice this reoccurrence of this theme of love. He says, "If anyone loves Me, he will keep My word, and My Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. Whoever does not love Me does not keep My words, and the word that you hear is not Mine, but the Father's who sent Me." Again, as I've said earlier, when one trusts in Christ for salvation, they are indwelt by Christ's Spirit. This is how Christ makes His home within a person, as He said there in verse 23. And as a result of Christ's indwelling Spirit, that person is empowered to love God. That person is empowered to obey the commands of God. And then notice what Jesus says, "The one who does not love God will not obey His commands." And then notice again what Jesus says. He says, "These are not My words." He says, "These are the words of My Father." This is coming directly from heaven. This is coming directly from the Father who is in heaven. Next, we see in this text the departure of Jesus and the promise of His peace. Again, Jesus is going to the cross. He's getting ready to go to the cross, but He offers them promise of peace. We'll see this here. Verse 25 and 26, Jesus says, "These things I have spoken to you while I am still with you. But the Helper," again, "the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in My name, He will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you." And again, here Jesus is speaking more about the role of the Holy Spirit in believers' lives. Again, notice that the Spirit of God is our Helper, dwelling within us, empowering us to love God and to obey His commands. Also notice what Jesus says, that the Holy Spirit is sent by the Father. You see, I cannot give you the Holy Spirit. Someone else cannot give you the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is sent by the Father. Whenever you trust in Jesus for salvation. Also notice here that Jesus says that the Holy Spirit is teacher. He will teach you all things. And for the disciples moving forward, the Holy Spirit would inspire all of their writings, giving us the amazing Word of God today. 2 Timothy chapter 3, Timothy wrote, "All Scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work." Also notice this, that Jesus says, that the Holy Spirit helps us to remember what God has already revealed. The Holy Spirit helps us to remember what God has already revealed. You see, church family, the Holy Spirit does not bring new revelation from God. The Holy Spirit reminds us of the revelation that God has already spoken. Years ago, I was pastoring at a church, and someone came up to me who was attending church that day, and they handed me an envelope. And they said, "Here, God has given me a prophecy, and I want to give it to you." Well, the best that I could, I said, "Thank you," and I went on my way, and I took the envelope. You know what I did with it? I threw it in the trash. You know why? Because God's already revealed in His Word what He has said. And the Holy Spirit does not bring new revelation from God. The Holy Spirit reminds us of the revelation that God had already spoken. Look at verse 27. This is the peace that He offers. He says, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid." And church family, this is what Jesus does for His followers by His indwelling Holy Spirit. He gives them peace. By trusting in Jesus' finished work on the cross, He gives believers peace with God. He gives believers peace for today. He gives believers peace for tomorrow. And His kingdom will be an everlasting kingdom of peace. So today, Let not your hearts be troubled. You have nothing to be afraid of in Christ. Rest in the peace that Christ offers. Verse 28, he says, You heard me say to you, I am going away, and I will come to you. If you loved me, you would have rejoiced, because I am going to the Father, for the Father is greater than I. Verse 29, and now I have told you before it takes place, so that when it does take place, you may believe. Verse 30, I will no longer talk much with you, for the ruler of this world is coming, and he has no claim on me. But I do as the Father commanded me, so that the world may know that I love the Father. Rise, let us go from here. And again, these are the last few hours of Jesus' life before he goes to the cross. And if you remember from previous weeks, Satan had put it on Judas Iscariot's heart to betray Jesus. And Judas, at this point, he is on his way with a mob of people to arrest Jesus, to eventually take him and nail him to the cross. But this, church family, this did not mean that Satan would win. You see, Jesus went to the cross willingly to obey the command of his Father. He went to the cross willingly. Why? Because he loved the Father. And Jesus gives us the perfect example of what it means to love God and to obey God. So in closing this morning, what are some things that we should remember? What's the application for us today? I just want to give us just a few things to take from this place this morning. And the first one is this: be reminded that the Spirit of God indwells all believers. The Spirit of God indwells all believers, empowering them to love God and to obey His commands, helping believers and teaching believers to understand the truth of God, giving believers peace, giving believers comfort, ensuring them that they are not alone and that Christ is with them, reminding them of what God has already spoken in His Word, reminding them of the truth of God's Word. The Spirit of God indwells all believers. And if you are in this place today and you have trusted in Jesus Christ, the Spirit of God is indwelling inside of you. An amazing thing to think about. Number two, be reminded of this, that true believers empowered by the Spirit of God love God and obey His commands. True believers empowered by the Spirit of God love God and obey His commands. And it begs this question: how do you know if someone is a Christian and has the Spirit of God abiding in them? And you can ask these questions: do they love God? Do they love God? And is it proven by how they serve God and obey the Word of God? True believers empowered by the Spirit of God, they love God and they obey His commands. And His commands are a joy, right? They're a delight. His commands are not a burden to obey. Next, be reminded of this, that Christ always fulfills His promises. Christ always fulfills His promises. He promised His disciples that He would return to them after His resurrection from the dead, and He did, right? Christ also promised that He would return for His church and church family. He will. Christ promised His disciples that His Spirit would come and indwell them, and it did. Christ promises that His Spirit will indwell all believers today, and He does. And then lastly, be reminded of this, as Jesus says, that Christ is victorious over Satan. Christ has won. Christ has won. I love what Jesus says at the end of this section of Scripture. He says, He has no claim on me. And if you are in Christ today, Satan has no claim on you either. In Christ, you are victorious. Would you bow your heads with me this morning?